In your face. Up next, local artist Charlie Oakley. But in the meantime, here's their debut single. This is called Against the Odds.
Glass, right under precious feet, still running from the heat. Scream before the building falls, and you start to bleed. Talking heads and lectures fill the airways up with lies tonight. Selling graphic pleasures on the billboards in the sky. The sky. Darling, you can run to me. Don't you know I'll always be against the odds. Even if it's only us, loving you'll be enough against the odds. Lights under a Melbourne sky, it's only you.
Melbourne artist Charlie Oakley there, Against the Odds, and Charlie joins us on the line. Charlie, welcome to 3CR.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi.
Hi. You are 22 years old and you've released your debut single and that's it, and it is so wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you guys playing it. It means the world, truly.
So you had the launch recently at the Nightcat in Fitzroy. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Just, like, I'm just smiling thinking about it. The room was just incredible, the way that people let down their armour and just stepped into who they wanted to be for the evening with me was just the greatest gift that I could ever ask for. It was just so special, so special.
It's got some great production. Tell us about your collaboration on the production for that track.
Yeah, so I actually had the chance to make that one over in Los Angeles with a producer named Zandy Barry. And I also had the pleasure of bringing my best friend and creative collaborator of, 8, 9 years over there with me. So it was definitely a song forged by a lot of friendship and trust. And it was really special. It kind of feels like Don Henley's Boys of Summer, like the long-lost sibling of that to me.
Oh,
that
wow.
90s nostalgia. I really, yeah, I love it a lot.
And that song is such a classic. And being in LA as well, of course, Boys of Summer. Tell us about the studio you recorded it in.
Oh, my gosh. It was in Zandy's home. He created this home studio. They used to have one out on somewhere in Hollywood that is, you know, well known. is unfortunately a little bit kind of dangerous to get to now. So he's created this beautiful home studio and has all this amazing analog equipment. So it was really cool to kind of be able to touch and feel the music really tangibly. We listened to so many records while we were making it. It was a really, really special experience.
That really does sound amazing. And how organic.
Right? Like, I feel like, I mean, as a young person, which is, I guess, the absolute joy of music becoming so much more accessible production-wise, and for young people who want to express themselves, is that we can make a lot of this stuff from our bedroom. But having the opportunity to kind of really sit there and understand the history and the stories behind all of this incredible equipment, like these Linn drums and these synthesizers and all of this stuff that has kind of really chronicled our musical and sonic story as a species. It's really, really quite sacred and special, and I feel incredibly lucky that I had the chance to do that.
Wow. Can you share one of those stories? Is there a story that jumps out?
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you could ever get Zandy Barry on the phone here, he would just light up and tell you the most incredible stories. He told us about, you know, sitting in rooms with Quincy Jones and just as a young kid hungry to learn. I can't even, I feel like I just absorbed so much of it in terms of its sentiment and feeling and forgot more about the details, but it really, it's just so special.
I can really relate to that. It's not so much what you're told, it's the feelings and the journey that you learn from it, you know? Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, look, Charlie, I've got to ask. You said that in the recording process for Against the Odds, you listened to a lot of records. What were some of them?
Oh, God, we listened to a lot of, we listened to some Cyndi Lauper. We listened to a lot of the B-52s. Am I getting that right?
Sure are. They're an amazing act.
Yeah, we listened to lots of Bee Gees, all the Bees, and a lot of stuff from the 50s. Just such a wide variety, a lot of Prince as well. But honestly, it was kind of just like any time we needed to take a break, particularly from writing this song, it took us almost 5 days to crack, which is the longest it's ever taken me to write a song in my life. Having those opportunities to go back and listen to great records. And I think the thing that, actually, here's a story for you. the stuff that resonated with me the most as we listened back through all of these iconic records was the simplicity that was in a lot of either the sound or in the actual lyrical kind of composition. I think, I know for me, because I've always been a writer, even prior to singing, that sophistication has always kind of felt like my prerogative, that I've really wanted to find the most clever way to say something. But so many of these records really are great because of their simplicity and their ability to kind of distill a complex feeling into such a clear thought, such a universal message. Carole King, for example, is a perfect example of that.
You have just had so much beautiful mentoring. I mean, what a great experience.
Yeah, I feel incredibly lucky.
So what are you writing at the moment?
Oh, great question. I'm really interested in, and you hear it in Against the Odds as well, in articulating duality in our human experience. I think it's a very hard thing to articulate, but for Against the Odds, for example, this feeling of holding the weight of the world, the suffering, the division, the injustice, but also holding community and solidarity and hope. I think it's really easy for young people particularly to feel like they have to inhabit one of those extremes. So right now I'm kind of looking at the more, I guess, animal parts of us, the visceral human parts that are, I think, really come to the fore when we're pushed to, I guess, show other parts of ourselves with AI coming in. With, I know I'm going on a tangent, but in these moments of challenge and of division, I think that is also when some of the most tender and hopeful things come out of us as humans.
Absolutely.
So that's where I'm writing from at the moment.
What other singles have you got that have been produced and are ready to go? Is there anything that's going to come out after this track, which dropped very recently?
Yeah, absolutely. Early next year, we're hoping to drop the next one, and that's more of an exploration of grief. And it was the first song that I wrote in LA with Sandy. But I released an album with my best friend when I was 19 years old. That was the first thing I ever put out into the world. So it's been 3 years of not releasing anything until now. So I have maybe 100 songs that I've written in between now and then. So I'm just so hungry to share it all and really cherry pick the ones that I feel are pertinent to the time and space we're finding ourselves in right now.
Amazing. How many tracks did you actually record in LA?
We did, maybe 10. And that was over two different trips. So one I went by myself in 2024, and then in this year I went over with Geordie, and we did the other five.
So you've got an album.
I've got an album. I really want to release this kind of trilogy of EPs that form an album once you put them all together, kind of like a little sonic puzzle piece. Because I'm really interested in finding new and innovative ways to release music, particularly because, as the robots take over, it's easier and easier to kind of throw a track list together and call it a playlist or whatever. But I'm really interested in curating a story and a message that that is me, that is my unique voice, and that people can... and that people are able to identify that.
How old were you when you started writing songs?
I was 12 years old, I think, when I wrote my first real song. I think I was always kind of humming and creating variations of songs as a kid, as you do. But my first song was when I was 12, and I think I wrote it after watching Narnia. I felt quite inspired by... their battle scene. So I wrote a song as the perspective of a little warrior princess. That was my first song.
Oh, wow. Kind of Xena influences.
Yeah.
So your upcoming release, the next one, that's a pivot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's a little bit more rocky as well. I think, it was the first time I opened up, musically about grief and loss. I lost a friend in 2021, and it's kind of about the eeriness of being at a funeral with people your age when you're young. And I always thought that that song would sound really soft and quiet and considered, but it's almost the opposite. It's got an anger and a frustration that kind of lends itself to a bit more of rock and roll than folk. So, I find that contrast really interesting to listen to. It scares me. It scares me, that song, because I don't resolve or fix anything in it. I just let that feeling breathe exactly how it wants to. And I think that's important.
Yeah, I think sometimes grief can't be harnessed. You have to let it out, and it's amazing what does come out. And so I think it sounds like you really nailed the song.
Thank you. Well, we'll see. We'll see when you get your ears on it.
Can't wait to hear it. Charlie Oakley, what an amazing artist you are. Thank you so much for joining us on 3CR. Can't wait to hear the new single. Can't wait to hear the album or the trilogy of EPs. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you so much, James. I really appreciate it.
Take care. Cheers.
You too. Bye.
The wonderful Charlie Oakley there.
3CR.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.